This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour. Our Father, bless thy word. We thank you for it. And may the Holy Spirit make it sink down deep in every heart. And our Father, we thank thee for the past hours that are come and gone, and how you blessed our hearts. Thank thee, our Lord, for your grace that rests upon us, and for the spirit of grace and of supplication. And our Father, you take us and just keep us and lead us by thy grace. May the Holy Spirit witness through us this day. May all we do will exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we ask it. Amen. Now, number 443. Everybody stand as we sing, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Let's everybody sing it. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wonder if we all believe that to be so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wonder how many can make that personal this morning. Can you say the Lord is your shepherd? Well, there's a difference in saying that he is and then giving evidence to it. I'm certain there are many probably who think that the Lord's their shepherd. Well, there's one thing the shepherd doesn't do. He doesn't lead his people out into sin, into the world, and the pleasures of it, and get their fill, their desires. But the shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures, to feed upon his word, the comforts of his grace, clothed with humility, love. Gives me a longing after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The newsletter was mailed out recently, and in it we stressed the need for 3 new machines, and I'm asking everyone to help us to do what you can. We'll be able to order those machines and put them to use where we get better quality tapes sent out to the radio land and the stations. Now we're going right on with the work. As you notice, there's some more work, cement work done. The men did this week, and we hope to do more little by little. We're looking forward to getting the pews and the flooring finished. It takes time, it takes lots of patience and grace, and just takes lots of money too. And if you have any of God's money and you're not using it, why don't you turn it over to the Lord and to this work here. This is the work of the Lord, that we'll continue in getting the things that are needed for this ministry and go ahead. I was thinking this week, oh, I would that somebody had $100,000 they could give us to go on other radio stations throughout this nation. And I thought this way. I said, if it was any great amount of money that ever came in my hand, that it was given to me, the only thing I could think about doing is put it right into the work. Whether it was $20,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, I want to do it all for the Lord. Just put it into the work. Because there's nothing else for us to live for, and there's not anything else I do want to live for, but for the glory of God, for the advancement of His kingdom, in spreading the gospel message. So you help us. May the Lord lay upon your heart so we can go forward and get the things that are needed as a springboard, you might say, to go further out. Reach out. There's an overabundance of work that lies ahead of us. There's lots of work yet. Thinking about the pastor's messages and hoping someday to get a binding to them, put the messages together in the book form. And so that's all going to cost money, but we're looking forward with a vision. You know, without the vision, the people will perish, come to a standstill. There's so much. So you pray with us about this overall need. Now let us turn in our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm again. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And I hope to close out this psalm today. And you children and all, you keep still, you listen. to the Word of God. The 23rd Psalm, what a blessed psalm it is, and how we should study it and meditate upon it over and over again until it becomes personal to us, personal to you, and I know it's personal to me. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. You might say, I would that I could say that. But why can't you? Why not bow to him as your Lord? You'll never know him as shepherd until you know him as Lord and Savior. So you surrender yourself unto him. He's your Lord. And you acknowledge him as your Lord and surrender unto him. Just surrender. He's your Lord, my girl, my boy, he's your Lord. Remember that. Whether you ever saved or not, he's still your Lord. And you must bow to him here or at the great white throne judgment and acknowledge him as Lord. Well, you'll never acknowledge him as Lord until you stop your fighting, until that rebellion is broken in your heart. Only then, when the Holy Spirit does that, you'll come to recognize that he's Lord. But remember, you cannot know him as shepherd until you know him as Lord. Remember that. You cannot know Jesus as Savior until you know him as Lord, until you bow to him, the supreme ruler, the governor, and submit unto his will, unto his word, broken at his feet, acknowledging my Lord and my God. But as long as you've got your own way, you want your own way, your own will, and do what you please, you never will. And then which means you'll never get saved. So the Lord, that's what David meant. My Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not only my Lord, but he's my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, he takes care of us, just like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see where grace working in there, in the heart of David, how he was taught the grace of God. He maketh me to lie down. He didn't lie down voluntarily, but he maketh me to lie down. In other words, everything that we receive, it comes from him, comes from God. And he does everything. He keeps the enemy from us. We can't keep him from ourselves. And he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake, not the paths of sinfulness, not the paths of worldliness, not the path of rebellion, not the paths of self-will, but he leads me in the paths of righteousness, of holiness, for his name's sake. He leads me, you see. That's what David makes it personal. He leads me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now why is that? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Need both of them, the rod and the staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That got a hold of me this week, meditating upon that. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever and ever. There'll be no end to our dwelling place. Now let's look at where we left off last week. David said, I will fear no evil, though evil is all around him. Evil was all around David. He was haunted here and there, driven here and there. But he said, I will fear no evil. Now, I know this doesn't take place overnight. There's much that the child of God has to be taught after God saves him. And he feels more secure along the line, more assured. These things do not come out overnight, about overnight. I know salvation is instantaneously. The moment I believe upon him, that's salvation. But then there comes the work of assurance, comes the work of purifying in the heart, in that believer. And the work of stabilizing him, assuring over and over and over again. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it, in other words, we have to go through many battles to find that the Lord is sufficient for the battles and his grace is sufficient. We might have to go through much sufferings to be assured more and more of God's love, that he will not leave us in afflictions. And so on. We've got to go through tribulations to learn patience. Tribulations to work at patience in order to be content. And so, but God has means, he has ways of bringing that about in our lives. But David came to the place, I will fear no evil. Sure, in the beginning, I feared evil. I was afraid at times. And I was always thinking about maybe someday I'll get for the cause of Christ, I might have to face the fiery stakes, or get my head cut off. And I wonder if I'll be able to do that and face those trials. And it all made, maybe when the time comes, I might turn back or something like that. But you know, David, he came to the place here. He said, I will fear no evil. See? He became bold in his testimony, just like the Apostle Paul. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He knew its power. And so, like every one of us, we have to be tossed to and fro, and all kinds of things to happen to us to come to be assured of God's love and of his keeping, of his power, of his sufficiency, which gives us more boldness. All right, the apostle, then David said, I will fear no evil. And the born-again believer has nothing to fear in the dark valley of death, or in the dark valley of this world, because our Lord shepherd is there and leads us safely through however dark it may appear. Evil is always present with me, but I will fear no evil. All right, now what is that? What's the reason for that? The reason for such a high assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ had put away all evil. Listen, my friends, I closed with these thoughts last week. I'm just going over a little bit here. Listen, my friends, those shadows of evils, they're gone forever. David said, I will fear no evil. not even the evil one, Satan himself. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Death is a conquered foe. Death may kill the body, but cannot touch the soul. Now, here's where we want to go into this thought today. For thou art with me. For thou art with me. You'll find that in that fourth verse. Look at it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What assurance David had. What boldness he declared it. Thou art with me. He wasn't living by feelings, was he? And what others might have told him, but thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. My Lord Shepherd is my companion. He is a companion of all his people. He is my comforter, David said. He's my companion. He's my comforter. And that's where David got the thought. He said, I am a companion of all those that fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's my protector and my guide. The man who dies outside of Christ, he seems to go into the dark valley alone. Nobody with him. No one to comfort him. Now you listen to me this morning. That individual who dies without Christ, he seems to die alone. Friends may be around him, relatives, but he seems so alone. You look at him, especially I've looked on many, some saved, some not, and I stay there, I stand there by their bedside and say, I wish there was something I could do for this man. I would that I could impart something to him. And help him. Now there are individuals who hear the gospel time and time again, over and over again, and still do not know Christ when they come to die. And you would that you could do just a little bit more for them, and you stand there helpless. All right. The man who dies outside of Christ seems to go into the dark valley alone. His friends accompany him as far as they can go, and then must give him to the parting goodbye. Tell him goodbye. They cheer him as much as they possibly can until his eyes become dim and he can see no more. Soon he becomes insensible to every expression of earthly affection, and then he seems to be alone. I'm talking about that individual outside of Christ. But listen, my friends, listen. The dying believer is not alone. The dying believer is not alone. His Savior God is with him in that valley and will never leave him. Underneath are his everlasting arms. I got to reminiscing along this line this week, a couple of weeks, and it became a personal thing to me, the Psalm of David. And I put it in my own expression here. The arms of my beloved. On which this poor child of God leaned for repose. Arms of love that supported me through so many difficulties. Thine everlasting arms, my Lord, proved strong and faithful through this vast wilderness. Thou hast never failed me. You'll never fail me. Praise God, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Will you? My Lord Shepherd, I have perfect comfort and absolute security, for thou art with me. Can you say that? Can you say that? Will you have to cross Jordan alone? Praise God, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Oh, believer, omnipotent love must fail before one of his sheep can perish. For, says Christ, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them, my sheep, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You'll find that in John 10. And then David goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod under which the sheep passed when they were counted, as in Leviticus 27:32, the staff with which the shepherds drove away the wolves that would scatter the sheep. The soul, when thinking of the possible danger, is quieted and comforted by the assurance of the faithfulness of the good shepherd. The shepherd not only leads the flock, but defends it. It's the reason why David said, no, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd not only leads the flock, but defends it. Hence the rod and the staff. The staff also was used in correcting the sheep when disobedient, and in bringing them back when wandering. Though we be in such imminent danger by reason of evil men, yet David said, this is my comfort. I am not neglected of thee. Thou dost not suffer me to perish. Thou dost take notice of me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's what I've been leaning on all these couple of weeks and months, resting right there, quietly before the Lord. That's why I don't get all hooped up and bothered about the enemy, knowing they're there, realizing they're there. But the Lord is my shepherd. He's my defender. He's my comforter. He defends this work. He defends this people, the sheep of his pasture. He does not neglect them. He takes care of us. When we're disobedient, he corrects us. When the wolves come in, he defends us. Isn't that wonderful? When they want to get in, he defends us from us. We got our eyes upon him. He's our shepherd. We're looking at it. We're looking to him to guide us and keep us. We hear the voice of the shepherd. Though we be in such imminent danger by reason of evil men, yet this is my comfort. I am not neglected of thee. Thou dost not suffer me to perish. Thou dost take notice of me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And look at verse 5 of that chapter. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now what does that mean? Well, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, as the sheep lie down satisfied with the rich provisions provided by the shepherd in the green pastures and by the refreshing waters, so the child of God sits down satisfied with the rich provisions of the table of the Lord. Satisfied there. He is provided with all things pertaining both to life and godliness. All things needed, both for body and soul, for time and eternity, you'll find here. And it's refreshing. The streams, the waters that flow from the Word of God. There you lie down there quietly, comforted, satisfied, knowing that everything is well. The shepherd is guarding you, protecting you, and feeding you upon his word. All things needed, both for body and soul, for time and eternity. David expressed his joy here in that God had provided a table or a feast for him in the very presence of his enemies and had filled his cup with joy. That's what the Lord does for us, what he's doing now. Giving us the tranquility of the mind, the heart, quietness there, peace, because he's leading. He's before us. He's around us. He's protecting us. I cannot see things that are going on underneath. I do not know all the devices of Satan or the workings of Satan. I don't see those things, but my shepherd does. He'll defend us from it, you see, from the evil one. He'll defend us from the evil one. And any church like this, you will always find the enemy trying, lurking about and trying to get in and underneath. And I just don't know what they're doing. I don't. I guess if I did, it'd scare me to death. But I've got my eyes upon the Lord, upon my shepherd. He knows what's going on. He knows how to defend the enemy. He knows the instruments to use. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have no bodily weapons of warfare. I don't know how to fight physically. Too old to fight in one sense of the word. But our warfare is not carnal, my friends. It's spiritual. He is our defender, our protector. And we must follow him. We must look to him and trust him as obedient sheep. And then we'll find that he will preserve us and keep us. But listen what David said. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, David expressed his joy here in that God hath provided a table or a feast for him in the very presence of his enemies and hath filled his cup with joy. It does not say someone else prepares a table before me. But David said, Thou preparest a table before me. The Lord shepherd himself before me. That is for me. You see? He prepares it before me and is for me, you see? And it is spread in my presence and for me. and is spread in the presence of mine enemies for me. You see? Now, in the presence of mine enemies. Now, when a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, if he eats at all, he snatches a hasty meal, you might say, and away he hastens and goes back to the fight. It is not so with the child of God. Listen, my friends, we may be surrounded by the enemies of the gospel, and we are, but are protected by the Lord's shepherd's rod and staff. And that, in spite of our enemies, we are comforted at the table of our reigning King. While feasting at the King's table, nothing is hurried. Quiet. Isn't that wonderful? You don't hurry. There is no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, and yet God prepares a table. And I've seen that manifested here. The enemy at the door, wanting to get in, wanting to get back. But I've seen the Lord take me and quiet me and put a table before me in the midst of all my enemies, and then let, just, not in a hurry, just sit down there and partake of it. His bountiful supply, the provisions he's given us from his word, the Holy Scriptures, the riches of his grace, the satisfaction to know that he's with us and that he's leading us. And humble and helpless as we are, he is our defender and our protector. And so we sit down there, no disturbance. Yeah, but you know, they're doing this and they're doing this against you. Yeah, but listen, we've got to look to the Lord. The enemy's at the door, and yet God prepares a table. But listen, the true child of God sits down and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. There is a calm and a secure repose. Oh, bless that sinner who leaned on the Lord Jesus Christ for repose. Oh, for rest, for quietness. Yes, listen, my friends, there is a repose at that table of grace, with the assurance that all our enemies are not to be feared. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now you think about that. God be for me, I dare all the enemies, all of Satan. If God be for me, who can be against me? That's right. Now, brother, it took years of learning for me to learn those things. It took years of trials and sufferings and persecutions and ups and downs and around and everything else for me to learn these great things of Scripture. But if God be for me, who can be against me? It took much confessing of unbelief, of sin, and everything else to come to learn the things of God. There is nothing. I want us to turn to Psalms, the 91st Psalm. Let's turn over there. Turn over there quickly. The 91st Psalm. Let's read there in that first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Listen, David speaking here. Can you say that? Can we say that this morning? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, the truth of his word, the Holy Scriptures. What comforting, what comforts. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? That's the individual trusting in God. Trusting in him. There is nothing that the enemy can do to prevent this table from being spread before us. Nothing. There is nothing. They are compelled to look on and see how God provides for us. They look upon this assembly, this work. Why? It's still going on. It was supposed to have gone down a long time ago. Well, it hasn't, has it? The Lord's provided. They're amazed. They stand back in awe. They look and they wonder, how can it go on? Well, they've been saying that for the past 30, 40 years. How can it? And many of them have been said it to their own destruction because they never repented. But they've got to look back and they've got to stand at a distance and see how God's blessing this work. And we're being recognized in the community as a whole of what the Lord's doing here, from businessmen who thought that this work would fail. And one banker was saying, I hear good reports of you all over there, how the Lord's blessing you. And instead of you going down, you're going forward. Businessmen said, well, around the little town here of Algiers are looking and seeing how we're maintaining these buildings and repairing them and making them look nice to grace this area in here. The best we can do, that's what we've been doing. And our men have been busy. And they're recognizing this work. They may not believe the truth that we preach, but they must accept the fact that there's a stronger force behind this work than any human element. It's greater than you and I. I'll tell you right now, it's not me. It's God working in our midst and throughout the nation, not only here. The blessing in every phase of this work, which I praise him for. Yes, they are compelled to look on and see how God provides for us, which is a sure proof of God's divine favor towards his despised few. That's a proof. That's proof enough. Let's not go on any further and think that some of them might say, well, it hadn't closed down in 2 years. Maybe give it another 2 years. Now, this table of grace will forever be prepared before us, which furnish assurance that our Lord's Shepherd would never leave us in want. Never leave us in want. The friends of God are made to triumph in the very presence of their foes. Their enemies are compelled to see how he interposes in their behalf, how he provides for them, and how he defends them. While the shepherd entertains the sheep of his pasture, the enemy seeing, envying, and fretting at it were not able to hinder it. They are not able to hinder this work. They'll fret, they'll fume, they'll fuss, they'll get themselves in derision, but they're not able to defeat it. This work goes on because it's God's work, it's his truth. And it's his people. And he puts his approval upon this work. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me say this. Now let me say this. You hear this. And you listening out in radio land, you listen to what I've got to say right now. And I know there's some of you listening in just to be listening. And you may be taping everything. And maybe some of our enemies of this church. Now you listen. And I'm going to tell it to you once and for all. And don't you ever forget it. Let me say this. The Lord makes it clear to all the world that he rules the earth. Now you get that. And that his counsels shall stand. And you'll find that in Isaiah 46:10. And let me tell you something else, my friends. Where he blesseth, that man shall be blessed. Now you think of that. And whom he curseth, that man shall be cursed. His people, God's people, are the generation of his care and of his love. Because we are the people of his pasture. His people are the generation of his care and love, though living in the midst of deadly enemies. If what I just said is not convincing enough to the enemies of the gospel, now let me add this. The believer's final triumph in the day of judgment will be in the very presence of all their assembly enemies when the Lord Jesus Christ shall pronounce the sentence which will make our eternal happiness sure. The believer's eternal happiness sure. I want us to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, in regards to that. What I've just said. Matthew 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, listen, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him he shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. Listen, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, listen. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, that's when the believer's happiness shall be secure. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and give thee drink? And when saw we thee in a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we the sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But look on the other hand, what he shall say to those, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Thou anointest my head with oil, David said. Let's go on now. Literally, makest fat. Now, the expression indicates abundance. In the East, the people frequently anoint their visitors with some very fragrant perfume to show their love and respect. We have the story in Matthew 26:7 of the woman pouring precious ointment on the head of our Savior, manifesting her love and respect for him. What David expresses here is, thou dost pour oil on my head so abundantly that it seems to be made fat with it, an indication of prosperity and rejoicing. No wonder David rejoiced. How fully does this represent the Holy Spirit's unction, which alone rejoices and exhilarates the soul? It is called the oil of gladness in Psalms 45:7, Hebrews 1:9, and the joy of the Holy Ghost, Romans 14:17. When David says, thou anointest my head with oil, it is to be understood to be the spiritual oil of gladness. It is as if David said, O Lord, the precious perfume oil of thy grace, which thou dost pour upon my soul, it purifies me, adorns me, strengthens me, secures me, and uplifts me in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something? Surely the joy of the Lord is our strength. You'll find that in Nehemiah 8:10. To appoint unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You'll find that in Isaiah 61:3. Let's go on. My cup runneth over, David said. My cup is not merely full, it runs over. It runs over. In other words, there's enough of this spiritual abundance for myself and others also. Isn't that wonderful? And enough, as it reminds me of the story of, you remember when Samson was along the way, he killed a lion. And then on the return trip, he saw the carcass of that lion, and in that lion they had honey that built up in there, and he got some of that honey out and got to eating. It was dripping all over. My, my, you might say his cup was running over, and he had enough there to give to others. And Brother David said, my cup runneth over. I've got enough for myself, and I got more. And I've got enough to issue or to give out to others. And I would that what I've got this morning in Christ would spill over here this morning into the hearts of sinners.